Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 28th of December, Anno Domini 2008, and you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use. It is the Sunday betwixt Christmas and New Year's, so we are in our post-Christmas, still holiday mood.
For me,
today
is 24 years.
Of what?
Been married to my lovely wife.
She is a saint.
Yes, she is.
You are the luckiest man alive. She is a saint. A saint. And just, you know, a woman makes one mistake in her life, says, I do, and now look what she's stuck with.
24 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Was Santa good to you?
Yes. And you?
Oh, Santa was great to me. Santa was great to me. I got these shoes, which are just a tiny bit tight, and this nice coat and all kinds of good things. I was very happy.
Good man.
How about you guys?
I got lots of coal for the furnace.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Too bad you don't have a coal-fired furnace.
Oh, dear. Maybe I'll get that next year.
It may not have been for
it's in the mail.
Furnace.
Yeah, that gas furnace is a little touchy about the coal.
Yeah, right.
Yep. We got a lot of movies.
Nice.
All the movies we were behind on. So you stop buying movies for December.
Yeah, right.
or you still buy them and then pile them up somewhere.
Yeah, right. Then wrap them. Yeah, right here, honey. Yeah. Yeah, we had a real nice Christmas. It was very pleasant. And it was beautiful in terms of the weather. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, folks were really like, that's what you always got to worry about, you know, is the weather and folks getting around. And I mean, both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, they were great days, you know, to get around and do some traveling. Could you imagine if it was like the previous Friday?
We had a party to go to yesterday, and they live at the butt end of one of the Finger Lakes, and it was just, you go until the pavement ends, and then you keep going. And we're driving along, and the car's doing this, and my wife said, honey, why are you skittering? I mean, I said, I'm stuck in ruts. These are the ruts. These are what the ruts do. But it was a great party.
And the old wagon trails.
And I was glad we had good weather because my deal with him is when it snows, I don't visit him.
Yeah.
He visits me in the snow. I visit him in the sunshine. That's how that works. All right. Every week, as you know, we do a poll on our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. This week's poll has to do with some news, sad news for some of us. Well, not for that many of us, but the VHS format, the VHS tape.
Hold your hands over your hearts.
I know. It's been history for most of us for a long time, but it was still operating in the U.S. market through a single final supplier. Distribution Video Audio of Palm Harbor, Florida has announced that they have now shipped out their last remaining stock. They used to make big bucks when the format was popular, but the business has practically died in the last couple of years. Consumers moved on to CDs and DVDs. Of course, even DVDs are now under challenge from the Blu-ray format, although not a lot of people seem to be buying Blu-ray. Online streaming is challenging all kinds of hardware formats, of course, so who knows if Blu-ray will even make it. But that's, of course, plagued by speeds and by costs and by bandwidth caps. So only time will tell which format will dominate in the coming years. Personally, I'm betting it's something we haven't even seen yet. But this week's question, of course, is about the VHS tape format. And it is, do you still have a VHS player? The choices are yes, and I use it regularly. Yes, but I rarely use it. No, I don't. And what is this VHS you speak of? And I know I left out the yes, but I never use it anymore. So get over that. So far, we have 42 votes. And yes, but I rarely use it is number one with 19 votes, followed by yes, and I use it regularly with 15 votes. Now, of course, once you're done with that, I know that you people don't, you know, you've got way more to say, whether anybody wants to hear it as another story, but you've got way more to say than just clicking a button. So when you're done, click on, take a look at the little yellow box underneath. If you click on Give Us Your Opinion, it takes you to my website at asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Thank you. Well done. And you can then enter in an opinion. And the question there is, what was the last movie you saw on VHS?
We don't watch movies on VHS, but I still record TV shows on VHS.
See? Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, blank tapes are 50 cents a piece. No wonder they're not making any money on it.
Yeah, right. Assuming you can find blank tapes. I think I've cornered the market. I've got a drawer full of blank tapes.
You get the 12-pack for $10.
Yeah, right. They're still available if you look for them. They're at the bottom shelf, though.
Yeah right.
Alongside the 3.5-inch floppy disks.
Yep. I have most of Doctor Who on VHS.
Yep.
Back when they were showing the series in order on XXI.
We should make it clear that your news article refers to pre-recorded VHS tapes.
Right, right. Although I don't know anybody who's still selling huge stocks of blank VHS tapes.
Not huge, but they're still available.
They're still available.
Right? Yeah.
And until that stock runs out, I guess.
Some people even still sell cassettes and use them.
That's true. Yeah. That's absolutely true.
But it gets put on a shelf now alongside the shellac records.
It's also getting trickier to buy a VHS recorder. They stopped making them with tuners in them because of the digital shift next year. So now almost all the VHSs you can buy, they call it a feature. It has line-in recording.
Yeah, right.
Or their combo, it's a VHS recorder with a DVD player, or vice versa, so you can transcode your own VHS to DVD yourself.
Now, what interests me so far is the picture that's forming of our user base. Since so far, yes to VHS player, the two yes questions are clearly in the lead by about 80%.
Okay.
And last week's poll about Blu-ray, no, the two no questions are ahead by approximately the same margin.
Well, it's interesting because for most people, they haven't seen a Blu-ray disc on a really good, decent Blu-ray television. And so DVD is good enough. But if you've got yourself the big flat-screen TV for Christmas, especially the high-def capabilities, take a look at a Blu-ray disc. Or go into the stores and look at the Blu-ray demos. A really good Blu-ray disc is just so much better than DVD. The quality of the audio, the quality of the video. And now the new feature is the BD Live, where your Blu-ray player connects to the internet. And you can do interactive things over the internet about the movie. So you can have a chat commenting on the movie while you're watching the movie with other people around the world.
Does this mean you have to plug in a keyboard? How do you have a chat from these little click, 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 click? No, thank you. No.
Have you seen the size of some of those remotes, though?
Yeah, there is that. Yes.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
While you're missing the dialogue of the film.
I pretty much have to start looking at a new DVD player anyway. Mine is ailing.
We just did one up, believe it or not, and I hate to say this, but we just set one up for a customer with Vista on it. It's got a 500 gig hard drive on it. We put the video card in there so that they can hook the DMI to DVI to hook it up to this 42-inch plasma screen or LCD
that's just
screen. And you can record all your TV programs. Plus, if he wants to, he switches over and he can surf the internet from this chair. Yep.
Yeah, that's getting to be pretty common.
And I mean, but this guy was surprising his wife.
Because, with the bill. Hey, honey.
No. No, he runs an electric company. But they had these speakers, you know, up on this one wall.
He runs the electric company? I used to watch his show. I loved it.
No. Listen to me.
Learned a lot from it, did you?
No. When the house was built, they had, the panels where the speakers would go.
Sure.
Up front, in back, and he also got this huge subwoofer. Well, for a Christmas present, he had speakers, both speakers put in, and was having this TV installed. So when his wife came home, here's this huge TV with a sound system.
Nice.
That you better bolt down the chairs because once you crank it up, it's blowing you back out through the back wall.
Do you like to watch movies where things explode?
Yeah. A friend of mine sold those for many years, and so he had one in his home as a demo, right? Because they were very expensive. Those. That's in the days when it was 12-inch laser discs.
Yeah. Okay.
No, they were 14-inch.
What?
They were 14-inch optical discs.
Oh, you're right.
Yep.
Well, they were the laser discs, right. And he sat me down in the exact perfect spot and started Star Wars. And the very first scene when the ship comes over the top of you there, you couldn't hear it, but you could feel it in your chest. It was the most astonishing thing.
It was. But speaking of, things coming in lately, which says something for our economy here as far as at least Kodak. You know, Kodak was late to get into the VHS tapes.
Yes, they were.
One thing that they're getting into, and I happened to see over this holiday season, was one of the new Kodak printers, the ESPs.
Yep.
Those I think Kodak might have a niche now over HP.
Nice.
In that one, to buy your cartridges, a black cartridges, $10.
Yeah.
A color cartridge, $19.99.
Wow.
And they show the number of prints that it will print, and it prints far more than the HP.
Because that was always the big trick.
And they are very reasonably priced.
And that was always the big trick when you look at some of the third-party cartridges that claim to be cheaper. Well, there's less ink in them.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, they're cheaper. But then there's fewer pictures, so they actually cost more.
Well, right. Kodak is finally getting ahead. I mean, this was really surprising. One, the quality is unbelievable.
Yep.
They're using a lot better inks. They won't fade. And their biggest thing is one, they're cheaper to print per print, and you get more out of a cartridge. And they have all the features like HP.
This is their photo printer.
Yeah, this is an all-in-one. It's an all-in-one. It's got the scanner and all that. And you can put the various memory sticks. You can hook the camera right up to it. It'll do it in various formats, you know, like one 5x7 and some wallets on a sheet.
Yep.
And 4x6 is there. And I saw some of the picture quality, flesh tones, and everything else. They're really kick butt.
Well, I may have to look into that. I also saw... and I really want to get one to review it, so I've got to find the right person to talk to. Is anybody listening? Give me a call. The Kodak HD movie camera, the little flip kind
it's the Kodak
that has the USB in it.
Right, it competes with the Mimeo.
Right,
but it's better quality and a cheaper price than the Mimeo.
It's cheaper, higher quality, and I think it has more storage
as well.
So, I'm looking forward to seeing one. I'd love to get my hands on one.
That sounds promising. I haven't heard of this.
Yeah.
I mean, Kodak.
Well, Kodak, you know, it took them a while to ramp themselves up, but it looks like
they're always late. When they came out with the instant camera, they were a little late behind. That you know, it had already been out when they came out with the VHS tapes, they had already been out, you know. So,
but once they ramp up, they do a decent job. So, I'm looking forward to seeing
often
that.
Go beyond what the competition has done. They're really good at R&D.
That's one thing about waiting in the market a bit. You see what the other people have done, and then you make yours better,
right?
And see if the format sticks around,
But I think this one, like I say, check it out. If you happen to see it in any of the stores, check out the demo, and I think you'll be very suitably impressed by the quality of work this printer is putting out.
The one thing that we haven't liked about the Kodak printers is they don't sell through standard distribution channels, so we can't carry them.
Well, that too could change. Look at it. I mean, one of the other stories that Nick's going to be talking about is a big change for Apple.
And I got it right here. I'll read it right now.
Yeah.
Walmart on Friday confirmed that they will start selling Apple's iPhone 3G starting today.
Today, Sunday.
At about 2,500 stores. The price with a new 2-year service agreement with AT&T or qualified upgrade is $197 for the black 8-gig model and $297 for the black or white 16-gig model. We are delighted to bring customers this groundbreaking mobile technology. Groundbreaking 3 years ago, said Gary Severson, Walmart's Senior Vice President of Entertainment, in a statement. Our electronics associates have been preparing for many weeks for the arrival of iPhone 3G, and some of them let the cat out of the bag a little early, as several reports noted several weeks ago, including ours. We reported it back then. The popular smartphones are currently available at Apple retail stores, AT&T stores, and in Best Buy retailers, where the 8-gigabyte phone is sold for $199, and the 16-gigabyte phones are sold for $299. Walmart's iPhone offerings amount to a whole $2 in savings, and negates, for now anyway, the rumored 4-gig model that some had speculated Walmart would sell for $99. Walmart will be staffing Apple iPhone G3 kiosks, located in the Walmart Connection Center in the store's home entertainment department. So I don't know how many Walmart shoppers are really going to be buying iPhones, but it'll be interesting to see.
Actually, that was a study that came out, especially with the $199 price list. More lower and middle income families are buying it because they see it $200. I can afford that.
Yeah.
They don't see the $100 a month plan, the text plan, and the data plan. So that, you know, that $200 is nice and easy to swallow, and then you get the $100 a month and figure that's $2,000, more, you know, $2,400 over your 2-year commitment.
Yep.
Plus the $200 you pay for it to begin with. So that's $2,700 you got to pay.
Yep. And that's assuming you only bought one.
Yeah.
All for a phone.
What?
All for a telephone. Hello? Pick it up. Call the person.
It's a smartphone.
Hang up.
Well, it's a smartphone.
It's,
and there are
oh, yeah,
good
it's very smart. Yeah. It drains all the money out of your
pocketbook. People made it smart.
Yeah, it's very smart.
Calendaring. I love My Touch, which is everything the phone is, except the phone, and therefore no $100 a month data plan.
See, that's, yeah.
You can get email. You can get your calendar on it. I use it all the time for calendaring. You know, someone at the office makes a change to my calendar. It's pushed to my
phone.
Can
I connect to Exchange?
Yes, you can connect to Exchange. It does Pop, IMAP, and Exchange.
And how much is the Touch?
It's $229 for the 8 gig model, which is weird. It actually costs more than the phone.
Yeah. But, they got to get their money up front because they're not going to get it on the back end.
Right, you don't have to pay that $100 a month the back end, yeah. And the web browser on it is so good. If you've tried browsing the web on typical cell phones, you either get the little tiny mobile web with nothing on it, or you see a little tiny piece of the web page, the size of your screen,
right,
and you can't read it anyway. On the iPhone and the iPod Touch, you get the full website, very, very high quality, high resolution screen. And it's so easy to zoom in and out on your bits that that it's really easy to see. They always use the New York Times website as the example. New York Times website is really media rich.
Yes, it is.
There's
bad.
A lot of stuff on the New York Times website. And the overview you see on the phone is very easy to read. To see what section you might want to zoom in on, you just double tap on it, it zooms in on it. It's just a really neat way to browse the internet. And it's also becoming a new gaming platform. There are thousands of games available. I got 7 pages of free games. I haven't paid for anything yet. So they're gaming platform and media device and photos and video and whatnot. So it's just a really cool device. Very, very thin.
You had the instructions on it for disassembling my iPod Nano first generation. You passed it over to me, and yeah, it was so easy to use.
I
opened the photographs of the thing.
Surfed the internet, opened a PDF.
Oh, and you're reading books on it.
Audiobooks, yeah. Push the home button at the bottom again to go back to the main page.
Ah, there we are. Yeah, see, this is the thing. If this has, and of course it's only
Wi-Fi for the Touch, but you can do instant messaging, IM, through Wi-Fi. So if you really need that cell phone access when there's no Wi-Fi ability, then you have to go with the iPhone.
Right, but for a guy who's
almost Wi-Fi everywhere.
My entire building is wired. So for me, to be able to go places, get my calendar, get my email, I'm sure there's a terminal in here somewhere where I could kick the machines if I have to at some point.
The remote desktop connection for Citrix has a client out. LogMeIn has a client out. I think Microsoft is working on a client. So you can use remote desktop on your iPhone.
That's very funny.
Control and command other computers, yeah.
See, that's one of the things I was looking at one of those netbooks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sort of the next step up between a smartphone and a full laptop.
Right. And I don't need a full laptop for most of my day. And I don't need a phone for most of my, I got a phone and it's not an AT&T phone. I don't do AT&T right now. So, you know, to do all of that, I would have to make some changes.
Verizon still offers the Verizon to Verizon free calls.
Right.
And that's good money saver.
The story is Apple went to Verizon first because they're the biggest carrier in America. And Verizon said, you want a piece of the minutes? That's not how it works. and then so they went to Singular, which was the small struggling company. And Singular said, okay. And then got bought by AT&T, and we're wondering if AT&T liked that or not. But it is, for those of you that don't know, there's two major radio technologies in cell phone. There's GSM and there's CDMA. And GSM is Global Services for Mobile Communications, which is what AT&T and Singular and T-Mobile use. And it's what the rest of the world uses. So the rest of the world is on GSM, and America is on CDMA. I never can remember that acronym. So Verizon and Sprint.
Carrier detect multiple access.
Yes, the radio guy, yep. So the rest of America is split between the two different networks. So that was a big issue there. Going with a GSM phone, it can be easily sold in Europe and the rest of the world. So to come out with a phone for Verizon, because that's the other rumors bouncing around, to come out with a Verizon-enabled iPhone, it has to be a completely different radio set. And you look at some of the BlackBerry mobile or world phones.
Right.
They have all four radios in it, the two frequencies on the two networks. And it costs an extra $100 to get that world phone with all
to put in another 5 cent right. chip.
Probably.
Yeah.
And it makes it bigger because it's got a, it's this, the space for the extra chips.
Okay. Tell you what, let's go to one of the questions here. We got Joe from Rochester. And he labels the info. All the newest versions of the Security Tango programs. I've tried to dance the Security Tango, but when I am prompted to update virus definitions with the with any of the antivirus programs, I get an error message saying connection. Connection with the update server failed. This is after I have loaded all the Tango programs from the CD and ran them. When I try to start up in safe mode, the computer locks up. Any suggestions? One, he doesn't say, I mean, depending on how old his CD is. I mean, some of these folks, if they bought the CD a year ago, it's going to have a different version of the antivirus super, or, yeah, AVG, it's got the older version. It's got 7.5. The newer CD
7.0.
has 8.0. And that's why we've been telling folks, right. you know, you got to go in CD. And update. You might still be doing the old version 7.5.
And that's one of the problems that I run into as well. People say, you know, I've been running the Security Tango forever, and now suddenly it stopped working. Have you updated the actual applications? No.
Did you read that message that popped on the screen that said, we're discontinuing updates for this version, you should go get the next version?
Right. And, of course, you don't get that if you've got the CD, but it's, you know, if you got the old
the
version
newer
of the
CD. Which we've now added a menu, and I mean, I don't
you
know
ought to, what you ought to add is when it first comes up, it pops up something that says, this CD is invalid after, and give it a date 3 months out.
Well, technically, it's invalid the day he burns it because there's new updates.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and then try to say how long is it going to be? You know, we don't know when the next version is going to come out.
Right.
Well, and, you pick a date and you go with it.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do that. I mean, it's you can only do so much for folks. They got to, you know, be, like Steve said, you know, read those messages on the screen when it says, oh, this is no longer, and go and look for updates. We've given them the basic program.
Right.
And it's just like the Windows. You know, you put basic Windows on there. It's up to the individual to go up there and get the other updates for their video cards and everything else.
And it usually prompts you, too. This version is out of date.
Yes.
You should get the new version.
And
people don't read.
Well, the trick there is that there's usually two messages. This version is out of date. Why don't you buy the new version or in little tiny print, you know, get the free new version.
Yeah. Well, like
people
you said,
don't read ever anymore.
They quick click, 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 click. And then it's. Why isn't it working? Well, about four clicks back, you didn't read. Do you want to do this?
Right. And I get people all the time saying, well, I'd love to do the Security Tango, but it looks like there's a lot there. Did you read it? No, there's a lot there. Okay, if you're not going to read, I can't help you.
Yeah.
Because there's no one button fix.
Yeah.
You know, Eagle Wolf tried that. A couple other people tried that.
Yeah, they all want to do it automatically. And it's like...
Yep. Sorry, if you're not willing to help yourself, then I'm not willing to help you.
Well, and there are some one-button fixes, the Norton Internet Security Suite, the McAfee Internet Security Suite. They try to do everything with one button, and it just puts so much overhead on your computer, you can't use it anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It slows it down big time, and that's the price you pay for convenience. And if you want to slow your machine down, go ahead. Put those products on. It will do it, and it will scan your machine. Now, will it keep it fully... protected? No, I've seen stuff sneak around those.
Yep.
This all leads me to think of the freshness dates you get on packaged products in the store. Get CD. Yeah, let me say that again. Get Dave's CD and then figure it's good for a week. After a week, you plan on updating.
Yeah, I mean, most of them will
automate.
The programs themselves, like the AVG and the Super Anti-Spyware, they both go in there and update automatically once you install it. Now, when the new version of the program comes out, it will, like Steve said, tell you, oh, you've got to update the version of the program. I can't help you with that. You're on your own.
Right.
You know,
all
take
you
got to
do is click OK. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, I can't be there clicking it for you.
But the problem is people don't read any of those error messages.
And if they don't want to read, Dave and Steve both offer the services.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Take it to them. They'll update
it's
it
It's going
to
cost how much?
Oh, would have been a whole lot easier to just read that 8-line message, wouldn't it?
Oh, I had one. Mini rant.
Here we go.
I try to be really congenial over the holidays. I mean, I get some folks that are in, you know, a spot net and, you know, just... It's just my nature. Oh, okay. had a Palm Pilot come in, needed a new battery. Now,
and those batteries are not user replaceable.
Well, they came with the battery.
Yeah.
And I literally had to pry this thing open. And it is not an easy thing because it's all like without bending it and warping it all to hell. Now, here's the thing. Let me set the stage. They bring it in, said, oh, we need it bad. We need it really, you know, fast. I got a whole shelf full of work. I felt bad for the person because they're in a pot. I said, all right, I'll bump you ahead.
Sure.
I bumped him ahead.
Because you're a nice guy.
Took the time, pried this SOB thing open without trying to warp this thin aluminum back shell casing. And once you get it there, then it's the battery. The battery's got to be pried up because that is also double-sided tape down.
Right.
Had to pry that out.
So it doesn't rattle.
Yeah. Right. And then undo very carefully two solder leads.
Yep.
Now these are right up near the edge.
Yep.
And you got to get the soldering iron in there without destroying the rest of the leads or cross. It took some time.
You sure did.
I got it done, got it all together, put it together. I charged them an hour and a half. They come in, and they bitched.
Of course they did.
I didn't know it was going to be that much.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. I bumped you up to the head of the line.
Without charging the expedite fee. We have an expedite fee that, that sort of encourages people to not want it today.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, we have a rush service.
Yeah.
And I, same thing. You know, well, if you want to get it done right away, there's rush service. And but here, in the holiday mood, I do it, and I still get pissed.
Nothing puts you out of the holiday mood more than customers.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. It's simply true.
I mean,
people
most
think that just because they have money, they have power.
Yeah.
Well, I've never
if you
needed
have enough,
money.
You do.
It's one of the reasons I stopped selling computers. People are nasty when they have money in their hands. They're just simply not everybody.
No.
Some people are happy and pleasant.
99% of my customers, I love them.
But there were people who are just simply nasty when they get money in their hands.
The 1%. There's 1%.
I used to throw people out of my store. I do not need your business that badly. Get out.
We've had to call the cops on some people.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would throw them out. It's one of the reasons I got out of the business. People are just nasty mean when they have money in their hands.
We had a woman bring her computers in Friday afternoon, so the Friday after Christmas. Apparently they got two new computers, desktop and laptop for Christmas. Brought them in Friday afternoon to have us downgrade it to XP. And then she called a couple hours later and says, is it done yet? No. Well, I thought it'd be looked at today. You didn't check that you wanted it same day rush service. Oh, I don't want to pay for that. Then it won't be looked at today.
Yeah.
So I felt bad. I took a quick look at it yesterday. They're both brand new Dells. Dell does not make XP drivers.
Right.
For either machine.
Yep.
So I'm figuring they're not going to be it. Well, I can downgrade it to XP and nothing will work. No video, no audio, no low Ethernet. So just from now I'm running into problems that for my own education, I hung an extra hard drive in it just to install XP and see what's going to happen.
Right.
But then I don't think you can put XP over Vista. You actually have
to erase
the Vista drive
first. Yes, you got to erase it.
Wow.
So now we have questions on our intake form. Do you have a backup of your data? Do you want us to back it up first? And she said no. So
To both.
So when I erase her hard drive, she's going to yell at me.
Yes, she is.
And quite often the image, if you erase it, quite often the image to make the backup
CDs on that second partition
is on that
or something.
Other partition.
Yeah.
So if you want
to buy a computer with XP on it, buy a computer with XP on it. You cannot count on getting Vista and downgrading. They just don't make the drivers for
the
new computers.
Yeah, that's proprietary.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
stuff.
But the problem is Dell has such cheap pricing now.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're saying, well, I can get a cheap computer and then get it downgraded to XP. And, of course, then they'll just bring you a CD that somebody burned for them.
Well, they actually did bring retail XP boxes.
That's nice.
That surprised me.
That's nice. Yeah.
I want to jump back just for 1 minute, though. Talking about that 1%. You know, 99% of my customers, God, I love them. They're great people. They come in and they'll joke, you know, well, I don't want to be part of the rant. I said, you know, I keep kidding them. You know, you know, I never say anybody's name and I never will. You know, and I thank the folks that supported us all year long and look forward to the folks coming up to this coming year because, you know, with the technologies changing and everything else, you know, it's going to be a fun time. I mean, these new i7 chips and everything else that's coming up on the horizon and, you know, and you folks supporting us here at Soundbites, and which I should mention, next week is our last week for doing this casting on Saturdays.
Right.
We will be going back to Sundays on January 11th, but there's going to be one twist. We're only going to be on from 12 to 1.
Our new time is noon to 1.
We'll be putting that up on the webpage, changing that up, and we're going to try to, you know, broadcast it as much as we can. We are changing. We're just shortening the show. Another show is now going to be on, I think it's an investment program or money management program.
Something along that
line. Something along that lines from 11 to 12. So we will be still on, but we're only going to be on from 12 to 1. So with that, let's move on to the next news item.
A small Indiana company has sued tech heavyweights Microsoft, Apple, and Google, claiming that it holds the patent on a common file preview feature used by browsers and operating systems to show users small snapshots of the files before they are opened. Cygnus Systems sued the three companies on Wednesday, saying that they infringed on its patent with products such as Windows Vista, Internet Explorer 8, and Google Chrome, which allow users to view preview images of documents on the computer. Mac OS X, the iPhone, and Safari also infringed, the company said in court filings. Apple uses this technology in its Finder and CoverFlow Mac OS X features the filing state. While Cygnus has sued three very high-profile companies, these may not be the only vendors in Cygnus's sites. They were a logical starting place for us, said Matt McAndrews, a partner with the Nero Scavone Haller and Nero law firm. Nero Scavone Haller and Nero. He's twice as important. That's why we named him twice. Which is representing Cygnus. Hungadunger, 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 and Hungadunger. You missed one. The most important one, too. We've identified many other potential infringing products that we're investigating, he added. Cygnus's owner and president, Gary Schwartz, developed the technology laid out in the patent while working on IT consulting projects, McAndrew said. The company is looking for a reasonable royalty, I'm sure they are, as well as a court injunction preventing further infringement, he said. The lawsuit was filed in federal court in Arizona, where Schwartz resides, McAndrew said. Google, Microsoft, and Apple did not return messages seeking comment on the lawsuit to any of the companies, to any of the news agencies that plied them for that information. Cygnus applied for its patent in 2001. It covers, and I quote, a system and method for iconic software environment management, unquote. And it was granted by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office in March of this year. Now, here's the big thing. They went and did this back in 2001.
Right.
At the very least, Apple's been doing this longer. So there's prior
Icon preview rather than icon, but it's such a broad patent, an icon preview.
I will be interested in seeing what happens. The whole
Solaris had that in the 70s.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Unix had it way ahead of that, and so
let's define what we mean by icon preview, though.
Well, what happens is, for example, on my Linux box, when I look at an icon view of a folder,
right,
I see all the things in it as icons. If that thing is a picture, I actually see a little thumbnail of the picture.
Of the picture, not a generic image.
Right. I see the actual picture. If that thing is a text document, I see the first few lines of the text document.
Over in the right-hand side, or left-hand side, there's a preview little pane.
And then also on the left, there's a preview pane, so if you want to see it slightly larger.
The quick look function in Leopard, you see the preview a little larger. So the whole idea of a patent is they've patented a specific implementation. It's like patenting the wheel.
Right.
You know, so all the other companies technically would have to do is show that we did it differently with different code.
Well, the entire purpose behind a patent is that you now have the right to sue someone else who uses the technology in that patent. And that's all it gives you.
If you don't exercise that right, you lose it.
That's exactly right. So they've now sued the three big heavyweights. You honestly think these people will roll over? They will fight this in court.
Either pay them a pittance or get that patent invalidated.
They'll want to invalidate that patent.
Because
there's some jamoke behind them with a patent on the dock, or there's some jamoke behind them with a patent on tabs.
The SciStar suit against Apple for making Macintosh clones, they amended their complaint to say that Apple doesn't have a trademark on Mac OS X.
There you go.
And all the news reporting agencies were going through the patent database and posting the link where Apple did patent Mac OS X.
You mean trademark it.
Trademark in 2000. they started on Mac OS X. Yeah. So what do you
I
mean?
I don't think Apple would really miss that one.
What do you mean they don't have a trademark on Mac OS X? Here it is, right there.
Yeah, right. Just saying it doesn't make it true.
It's hard to comment on this kind of thing, though, without actually having the patent in front of you and the lawsuit in front of you. That law is so complicated.
Well, and that was one of the big...
That's why God made lawyers.
Yeah.
And judges.
And patents, so that lawyers and judges will have something to do.
And that was one of the big dangers that sort of got a precedent set in the look and feel lawsuits with Microsoft and Apple, 30 years ago now?
Yeah.
25 years ago, that Apple showed that you could make the same screen with two different looking codes, because you can't patent or trademark the look of something, only the implementation.
Right.
So you write it in C, you write it in Pascal, you write it in whatever. You can make the same look with different code, and the courts argued that that doesn't count.
Yeah, that's a dangerous precedent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I can make the concept of a car. If someone claims they patented a car, they could sue Ford and Chevy and GM.
Well, that's what
Selden did at the turn of the 20th century.
Right.
He claimed a right to use the turn signal where it is, and the accelerator on the right, brake on the left.
Right.
And he tried to get royalties from all the other car manufacturers for doing the same thing.
Right.
And he lost.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Although it is nice we have those standards.
Yes.
If one brand of car, the accelerator is on the left, and the other brand of car, the accelerator is on the right.
Right. Right.
All right. I got another one here, guys. This one.
Try going to England and driving.
Yeah.
Ooh. I'll never drive in England. I don't trust myself.
Those first couple of days are like, what the heck?
Yeah.
You ever see that in the movies about people getting stuck in a roundabout because they don't know which way to get out?
No, this one came in just before we switched the mail servers. And this one, I really want us to see if we can come up with something. It's from Bernadette from Bloomfield. And she goes, I just have a general question. Is there a company that makes a mouse that would prevent someone from clicking it repeatedly? Now, here's why. I have a daughter with Down syndrome and autism. She loves the computer. She clicks on the mouse repeatedly, and it jams up our computer. I know you can control the keyboard, but I need to know if the mouse can be made to have a delay in some kind of freezing function to prevent continuous clicking. I would appreciate any help you could give me. Thank you so much. P.S. I know the name of a business or brand of a company. If you know a name of a business or brand, if you could, please let me know. Really appreciate it. Love the show.
Most mice do have a double-click speed setting in the mouse control panel.
I was
going to
say you could slow down. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Well,
you slow it down, but that doesn't prevent. Now, is this person running Windows or
Windows,
the Mac?
Yes,
okay.
Windows.
So it slows down what it considers a double click. So if you click it 17 times, it may only think it's two clicks.
But that's still too many.
Yeah, not exactly what they're looking for.
Sounds like a software implementation is what's called for.
Yeah, there's
some kind of trap for the mouse click.
I was trying to do a little research on myself.
The Adaptive Technologies that we've interviewed before. Well, that's adaptivetechnologies.com.
Yeah.
Let's see who they are. They probably have something like that. Robert was his name? I'm sorry if you're listening.
Yeah, right.
It was a while ago.
Well, it's ABVI.
The Association for Blind and Visually Impaired have a second, but there's also an Adaptive Technologies company that has all sorts of things.
Yep. Who did we... Remember we used to have a gentleman, Nick... In the Frog and PC user group that dealt with all furniture.
It's this guy.
Yeah.
Is that who it is? So long, it's like forgotten eons ago. But yeah, I just found, I was trying to do a little research myself, and because I happened to stumble on this one, I printed them off when I got your notice that the new mail server was coming up. And, as a matter of fact, I got to play around with that, see if I can filter out some of the junk that's coming through on that, but I haven't played with that one. Yeah, Nick has been going through, they're looking at some of these possibilities for you, Bernadette. It's been all Nick and his minions have been updating a newer, cleaner look to right now just the mail server, which is a biggie. Getting in a lot of the stuff there and giving a smoother and cleaner look. That if you have questions and can't get a hold of us, some folks just can't get through the program, because the phones are so crammed. We're trying to do a better job of, you know, taking computer questions, printing them off, and answering them during the show when we can. And it's not going to be any easier coming up starting January 11th when the show only goes to an hour. We'll try to still get to a couple. I try to answer as many as I can. We do get a flood of them. So, you know, along with the other emails and running my business, I try to keep up with them. But, you know, don't get discouraged. You know, if you write an email and it's not answered for a week or so, because it could take that long. It's not that, you know, we're trying to ignore you or, you know, don't care or your question isn't important. Sometimes we just takes us a while to get to them because we also have the forums we've got still going for you folks. Even though we're giving up the show on Second Life on Sundays, we still will be doing it on every Friday night. And that's 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, or I switched the times around in the notice that it's 6 o'clock Linden Time. And there was somebody in their forum saying, who was it? Oh, saying how, in which I posted a comment, oh, seems like all the hubbub and the 15 minutes of fame of Second Life has died down, and now, you know, their 15 minutes is all done, and now it's going back. No, it's just that we are still very busy Friday nights in Second Life. We've got folks coming from all over the world. It's just that they just don't come to the forums. So some folks think, well, you know, the big bubble of Second Life is poof, gone. No, it's still growing, and it's growing strong. Each week we keep adding a few folks to the Soundbites group, and we still encourage folks to, you know, come there because Nick, Steve, and I are there, you know, there every Friday night. Just trying to get, you know, the word out to folks that much more that, you know, we're here to answer your computer questions just like we do on Sunday. And now with them, you know, changing the format and only doing a one-hour show on Sunday, you might want to even try to get into Second Life and join us on Fridays because it's an addition. That's where we can pick up the additional hour to, you know, view your questions and get them answered. And like I say, we're getting folks all over the U.S., and we got them coming from Texas, South Carolina, Iowa, Omaha, a couple folks from California. Matter of fact, we even had a couple folks from England, which for them, that's like, you know, 6 hours difference.
Right.
And they're staying up. Even Lolly.
There are a lot of people in Second Life, and, you know, we're not... I think whoever said that is right in a certain aspect. The people are discovering it's very difficult to actually make money in Second Life. Mm-hmm. So if you're there to make money, maybe that's not the place you're going to be able to do things. And in terms of updating your business, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Second Life is really designed for people that, for that, you know, if you want quick updates to what your business is doing, reminders, little, you know, tweaks of people so that they know what you're doing, then Twitter is way better for that. But if what you're there for is a longer term social experience, that's what Second Life is best at. And for us, we go in and people sit and we chit. Friday night, I don't think we took two computer questions.
Yeah,
I know. We had a great time chitting and chatting.
Talking about old-time TV programs and
exactly.
Radio. I mean,
exactly. We talked about trivia. We talked about the Monday night gig at Love and Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
So
we got to do that again.
The Monday night trivia at Love and Cup. It's a place out at Park Point there by RIT. Every Monday night, my friend Tom does Game Show Mania, and he's got the whole setup. It's the four little booths with the button that you slap on the microphone. And so, you know, he asks the question, you buzz in, and then you get to answer. It's so cool. It's so much fun. He does it every Monday night. We're having the most fun with that.
We have to do it again to prove that it wasn't a fluke.
Chris and I won. We went there. He entered us, unbeknownst to one of the pair of us. And we took the prize. We ended up fighting against these two.
You took the prize, all right.
Well, yeah, we did. We ended up fighting against these two young guys with goatees and shaved heads, and it was the two old guys with the white beards. It was the beards versus the goatees. And
but yeah, like you said, though,
old and treacherous beats young and
Old and wise. I would say
okay, old and wise. Sure, yeah. we'll go with that.
We're still doing, you know, we're still getting the crowds of folks, and the questions are getting answered. But we're having also a lot of fun, just like we do with this
mm-hmm.
radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know,
yeah, Second Life is not, you know, it depends on what you're in there for. It's obviously, it's like with anything else. It's not for everybody, and it may not be quite as big a deal for businesses as you might think. You know, a lot of people, it's good for meetings, not necessarily so good for demonstrations. So
yeah,
it's that kind of thing.
It's a different niche.
You know, yeah.
People are also using Facebook for business purposes.
Yes. Well, LinkedIn more than Facebook these days, but still, yes, absolutely, absolutely.
And I did find the Office of Assistive Technology Services at Monroe BOCES.
Getting back to the question.
Yeah. But it's a 716 area code, so I'm not sure how new this list is.
Well, I think to handle this one, just in case she is listening, what I'm going to do is, like I say, I was trying to do a little research myself and wasn't finding much. What I'll do is on Monday, call my friends over at ABVI and see what their suggestion is. They might be able to help this person out and get them some leads.
Yeah, the real problem is if you create a program that starts ignoring mouse clicks, when do you start listening to them again?
Yeah. It's all tricky.
Yeah, very tricky.
All right, tell you what, let's go into this next question then. Bill from Rochester. Ready for this one? And it will tie into one of your stories that's coming up. Antivirus 2009.
There we go.
My computer is running slow, and I'm getting a pop-up window from Antivirus 2009 telling me to download it. I'm having trouble getting to some websites, and I never had the problem with it in the past. Is this a program on the internet or one of those I can buy it to get rid of this virus? It's driving me crazy. Thank you for your help. Great show. It's going for another 19 years. Bill.
Hope so, Bill. Antivirus 2009 is, in fact, a virus. I got this pop-up message the other day in my Linux box.
On your Linux box?
On my Linux box.
And a little progress bar showing you all the infections you have?
Yes, yes.
In your C drive?
Yes, I got this window, my C drive. It was telling me how many infections I had as it scanned my C drive. And I thought to myself,
Linux doesn't have a C drive?
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure not.
We're a little impressed by the technology that they put into, and the effort they put into making this fake program.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the logos in that look so official with the bar and shields and everything else. I mean,
right. But since I don't run any of that stuff and since I'm on Linux, it was pretty clear that this was fake.
Yep, their website looks real. They have testimonials.
Well, you got it
on my Mac once, too, yeah.
Well, right. Ultimate Virus in the studio.
Right. Yep. It's Advanced Antivirus, Ultimate Antivirus 2008. Expert Antivirus, Antivirus 2009. They're all part of a family called W32/Fake XPA. Antivirus XP, Antivirus XP 2008, and of course Antivirus 2009. Basically, what they are is they are a virus, and they take over your machine and then pop up a thing that says you had to pay 40 or 50 or 90 bucks or whatever it is to get rid of the viruses. And when you pay the money, nothing happens.
Oh no, I had one client. Paid $79.95.
Nice.
And this one, though, even had, you know, on the bar and shield, an 800 number to call.
Excellent.
The guy called.
I'm surprised it wasn't a 900 number.
An 800 number?
Yeah.
An 800 number.
Yeah, I would have expected a 900 number. Yeah. Or maybe like an 867 that looks like.
No, he called the 800. Right. Yeah. No, here's the thing. The 800 number, well, they can afford it. They're charging $79.95.
Well, that's true.
He got called the 800 number. They told him to do a couple other things, reboot, and if he had an issue, call back. He went to reboot. What they had him do, totally wiped the machine, wouldn't boot.
Nice.
He tried calling him back because he had it on speed dial. Evidently, when you do call that 800 number, they capture the phone number, and after that, you call, it goes,
Nice.
So you're putting a queue where you're always going to get busy.
Nice.
So these are technically savvy people doing
this. Yes, these are folks getting very creative. They give you that warm fuzzy because, you know, not just a message saying that you got to buy it. They provide an 800 number for support. Oh, that's really real.
Remember the good old days when it was just teenagers trying to pull a prank?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Counting coup. Now it's people who are really want.
There's similar ones coming out now. There's a new fake one called Anti-Spyware Bot Search and Destroy.
Excellent.
Which is a fake anti-spyware program. The good one is SpyBot Search and Destroy.
Right.
So they're playing off on the known good program. And they have a really slick website. They have testimonials from Wired Magazine and PC Magazine.
All of which are fake.
Well, they're good. The testimonials say spyware is the number one problem on the internet today. PC Magazine.
Right.
Yeah. Which is true.
Yeah.
So PC Magazine can't sue them because they did say that.
Yeah. But it's just that these folks are getting very creative. They've learned writing viruses and getting nothing back on your return on your effort didn't help pay the bills.
Okay, let me make this easy for you folks. If it's not listed on the Security Tango website, don't install it.
So go to the Security Tango website and make a list of what's there.
Exactly.
And keep it alongside your
exactly.
Or call
and
us.
And in addition, you're right, it calls. And in addition to that, in the second month of a campaign against fake security software, Microsoft has booted the rogue application Antivirus 2009 from almost 400,000 PCs, the company recently claimed. December's version of the malicious software removal tool, a free utility that Microsoft pushes to Windows users as part of its patch Tuesday, targeted one of the most popular phony security apps, Antivirus 2009. According to Microsoft, the malicious software removal tool erased the fake from over 394,000 PCs in the first 9 days after it was released in this month's edition on December 9th. Last month, Microsoft trumpeted a similar cleaning operation against another family of bogus security software that it said had purged nearly a million machines of programs like Advanced Antivirus, Ultimate Antivirus 2008, Expert Antivirus. December's campaign targeted a different family, the one we talked about earlier, Antivirus 2009, Antivirus XP, and Antivirus XP 2008. Windows users increasingly have been plagued with worthless security software as criminals bundle the moneymakers with other malware or seed significant users with waves of spam touting the program. According to one researcher, hypercrooks can pull in as much as $5 million a year by installing the rogue programs. We're really in the wrong business.
Yeah, we are clearly in the wrong business.
Well, that's where, and I'm sorry, but, you know, it's like the horses are already out of the barn. Microsoft is now just coming to it. I mean, we've been dealing with this all year long.
Right.
This
and,
virus.
Of course, what they do is they give you the virus for free, which is kind of nice of them. And then that's where they start dunning you for 40 or 50 or 80 or 90 bucks.
It's gone all the way from $29.95 up to $79.95, that whole range that I have seen since, what, March?
My favorite one is that one of these things actually is a virus that just sits and waits for you to enter in to IE the URL, any URL that includes the word Google.
And then what?
Then it takes you to the fake website that says Google has detected unregistered Antivirus 2009 copy on your computer. Google recommends that you activate Antivirus 2009 to protect your PC from malicious intrusions from the internet. Folks, Google doesn't recommend any antivirus software.
Never have, never will.
And of course, that's again, it's Internet Explorer. Folks, stop using Internet Explorer. How hard is that?
If you click on a blue E to look at web pages, stop doing that.
Yeah, right.
You want to click on an orange fox.
Right, and if you don't have an orange fox, you can go to getfirefox.com and download it.
Well, see, there's where the other misconception, Nick, that I run into constantly. I don't know if Steve has run into it. A lot of folks, and it's scary, still think, because that's what came on their machine, that's what they have to use.
But they don't know that there's anything else.
Yeah, and they say, well, it won't work with my email. Thunderbird, yes, it will. And matter of fact, it does a better job. Well, I was told that I have to, because I have this service or that service, I got to use this. No, you don't.
That's just lazy tech support people.
We're running into a little bit of a problem. Actually, it's a pretty big problem for users with the Apple Setup Assistant and Roadrunner. The Apple Mail Setup Assistant, when you type in your email address, it knows, oh, Roadrunner server names. Well, by default, Apple assumes your email is going to use security, so it turns on SSL. Time Warner does not use SSL.
Right.
So your computer sits there and hangs for what seems like an eternity, and most people give up and reboot. But if you wait long enough, it'll come back and say, I can't connect to your mail server over SSL. Do you want to turn security off? And you have to say yes.
Yeah, but why are we teaching people to turn security off?
Right. We should tell Time Warner to turn SSL on.
Time Warner, if you're listening, please turn SSL on. It is, people don't want their
mail
unsecured.
Apple could update their setup assistant to recognize that Time Warner doesn't use security and not try by default.
That, yeah, right.
Then that would be a little annoying, too.
All right, let's try one more here. This is from Peter from Rochester. Can I, and then in parentheses, should I, trust it to safeguard passwords for financial accounts? I'd like to I guess he meant I'd like to do so, but can I access information from home, work, and on the road without synchronizing password information?
What's this program he's trying to use?
Clippers, C-L-I-P-P-E-R-Z. Clippers Online Password Manager.
Never heard of that one. And there's I don't really trust anybody.
1Password is the big one for the Macintosh. Do they have a Windows version? I'm looking now. The number
Passkeeper.
And Password.
Passkeeper, I've always used. That's always very good. The problem is he's looking for something that keeps them online so that he doesn't have to remember. A, he doesn't have to remember any passwords. And B, he doesn't have to be at his machine to get them. I understand the desire for that. The problem is that I don't know that I trust anybody else with my passwords.
Like I say, RoboForm, you can put that on a jump drive. Now, here's the other nice thing about it. You know, you're carrying around, granted, you're carrying around your passwords, but even the one on the jump drive to get into the passwords, you got to put in 1Password. And then you can get to the rest of your passwords. So they do have
interesting seeing how secure that is.
So you can be put it on a jump drive to carry all your passwords with you, but once you put it on there, it also has a password with encryption. So you got to first put in the password to then get into it.
And the other part of this problem is that many web browsers cache what you've put into them, even when you tell them not to. So if you are at someone else's home and you log into something secure, that password may well be cached somewhere in the machine. If you know how to get at them, you now can get at that person's password. Also, if you're on somebody else's machine, how do you know they don't have a keystroke logger?
Yeah.
No, this is a bad idea all the way around. I'm sorry, it just really is.
That was one of the security oversights, I guess, in Firefox 2. It would happily save your passwords for you.
Yep.
And if you forgot your password, you could go into the preferences and see what your passwords were without needing a password.
Yep.
So anyone could go to your computer and look at your passwords.
Yep.
They have fixed that in Firefox 3, so now you need a master password to see all of your other passwords. So you at least have to remember 1Password.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Which is very helpful.
Yep. But that's a common question we get on the Mac because it makes you create a password when you turn it on. We're probably going to start seeing that more under Vista because it doesn't make you have a password, but it's really insistent about creating a password on Vista.
Right.
So the next time you need to put the password in when you got to do a security update or something, you're not going to remember, and you have to reset your password. It's a little unnervingly easy to do on the Mac. We try not to tell people how to do it because we almost don't want it that well known.
Right. But it is doable.
It is doable, yeah. But we have people that say, I bought this computer on eBay and it's got someone else's password on it. Will you break it for me? No.
Yeah, right.
Show us the eBay transaction form. Get us a letter from the guy. Call the guy and ask him what his password is. And if you're selling your computers, delete your stuff. Take off your passwords. Erase the hard drive and send it out with an empty hard drive.
Right. So many people use 1Password for everything. So if I sell you, and they shouldn't, of course, but if they sell you a computer and you call them up for the password, now they got a bit of a dilemma, don't they?
Yeah.
Here's my 1Password for everything.
And since you left your stuff on it with your password, let's open your Quicken file and get to your online banking. Let's look at your history in your web browser.
How many times do we hear about people buying the Republican Party, all the BlackBerries they sold after the campaign had all the private information and all the email.
MI5 got hit.
MI5,
someone
would think
bought a digital camera on UK eBay, and it was an MI5 from inside of MI5, and there were still pictures on it.
Holy cow.
Yeah, people, it happens all
Somebody
the time.
Somebody disappeared.
years and years ago, I really shouldn't say this out loud. In a lot of these programs where you can, download things both legally and illegally, file sharing programs, when you install them, they by default share your entire hard drive. So if you do a search for a file name that includes passwords or private or confidential,
secret,
or you'll get astonishing numbers of programs, of files with people's private data in them. So the first thing you should do is A, never use those programs, but B, make sure you're not sharing your whole hard drive. And C, if you have been, start changing your passwords now. I don't know.
Folks are getting too lazy and too complacent.
That's exactly right.
I mean, you know, and then they come crying to like Steve and I because things are messed up because they didn't take the time, like we say, slow down.
Do you leave your car unlocked? Message. Do you leave your home unlocked? If you, you know, just went to the bank and took out $100, do you leave it sitting on the porch?
A lot of problems can be prevented by reading the message.
Yep.
If you don't understand the message, ask someone. But yeah. Read the message. My favorite is always, your hard drive is full. You should delete some files. What do I do? Delete some files.
All right, folks, that's the end of another session. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, and Chris Reich. I'm Nick Francesco. You will hear this after the holidays, but I hope your new year is happy, prosperous, safe, secure, and blessed. Thank you all, and we will see you next week on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.